Welcome back.
Welcome back.
I realized that while our thing plays, it has an unmute button. I'm like, one of these days, I'm just going to like press unmute and then just start going, like just like be some background music and see if anyone notices.
I think people will. Please don't do that.
What? I could have been in an a cappella group, okay? No one would ever know. I think no one would know.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hi.
I'm Spencer. That's Caitlin. Welcome to EU Sports. Or welcome back. That's us. Anyway.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Cute as ever. Cute as buttons.
If you haven't already, please subscribe, comment so we can chit chat, and because who doesn't want to chit chat with us? And hit the little thumbs up down below.
It's the only way that we know if you like us. If you don't like the video, then like we think you hate us.
It's free. It's literally
that is free. No, that's so true. You don't even have to pay us a dollar to hit the like button.
Yeah,
I could start charging dollars to like our stuff. Well, but that wouldn't make sense.
Yeah,
so just they'd be paying us to like us. Whatever, just like it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. If you didn't know, every single team in the NBA played last night.
All of them.
All of them. Every single one.
All 30.
All 30. I wouldn't say some of them really count as teams anymore, but you know, they were there. Everyone participated. And you know,
it's true.
Who participated the heck out of basketball last night?
I would like to guess that maybe it was the Denver Nuggets and maybe a certain player on the Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets. Oh, the Denver freaking Nuggets have won 8 in a row. And I don't want to hear, because I know you're, well, actually, guys are coming and all the people and all of you that don't even watch the Nuggets are going to be like, they haven't played against anyone good. Okay, the Blazers were the literal top defense in the NBA in the past 2 weeks. Okay? They were one of the hottest teams coming in to play us.
Was that not sneaky?
And, also, we're out Russell Westbrook, Peyton Watson, Aaron Gordon played some of those games. Michael Porter played some of those games, okay? The last two games, we were without all of them, okay? We were running. We had Jalen Pickett and Zeke Nnaji getting full into the rotation. And I love them. They've been balling out.
But started.
And I bet none of you who are Nuggets fans even know who those people are. Okay, that's why it's important for me to say that. But last night, Mr. Murray, Mr. If you didn't know, I went to Kentucky. Jamal Murray and I are the same year. I actually didn't even mean to do this. I just wore the shirt to Pilates and kept it on.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Blue Arrow set a career high last night.
That was arrowing.
I am going to move us up. I literally texted Caitlin and I was so pissed that he did not do the blue arrow celebration last night.
So freaking pissed.
But I'm not going to lie, when he was doing the I can't.
Oh, mm-hmm. I got gooseies. I'm like, I am such a weenie, but I did get goosebumps. Yeah. Because it was like so like subtle, but like he knew.
Because at first I was like, what is it? I was like, is he asking for someone else? And then he like kept doing it. He was like, I was like, Aura.
Period.
Have you seen the SpongeBob? You know the SpongeBob episode or a meme where it's like, how many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man? You know that one?
Yes.
This is how I feel. And if you're our Nuggets friends watching, you know. But if you're not and you're listening to figure out how he did this, how many times do we have to tell you to not piss off Jamal Murray? Okay, like literally.
Every time.
I don't know why you think talking shit to Jamal Murray is ever gonna like get in his head other than make him literally shit on you. Okay. So Zeke Nagy comes out. I don't know if you watched the post game interviews. Zeke Nagy basically said that Banton on the Blazers. And if you didn't know, three nights ago or whatever now, we played the Blazers back to back, not back to back. We played them twice. Okay. And, the first night that we were playing the Blazers, Jamal Murray was like going off, and Jamal Murray and Banton were kind of like chirping at each other. And Jamal Murray had gotten upset with a call earlier on Nikola Jokic and was like advocating and got a tech, him and Malone did. And then towards the end of the game, Banton was chirping, and Jamal isn't like one of those guys that like it gets physical. He'll just like talk back to you like really casually,
and so that's what he's doing. Calm. Yeah.
Yeah. He's so just calm. Like he literally looks like me, and like you know, we didn't hear exactly what they were saying, but he just looked like this talking, and then all of a sudden you hear double tech, and he's out of there because it was the second of the night. Okay, so apparently Zeke Nagy comes out, and the other night Banton, who. Jamal Murray's from Kitchener, Canada, and I guess Banton is from like 30 minutes away, and so they like know each other. He didn't say if they liked each other. I don't think they do. Banton was guarding Murray most of the night, but I guess like Banton was talking mad shit. Okay, rookie mistake, my guy. Rookie mistake. Okay, Jamal came in his press conference and literally said, "Oh, I knew in warmups I was gonna have a good night." I mean, he didn't say he was gonna hit his career high. He was like, I knew I was going to have a good night.
Jamal Murray is like the kind of person, because like if you're anyone, literally anyone, unless maybe like 10% of people, everyone thought that like Jamal Murray was going to have a really crappy year because he had an awful start to the season. But he's the kind of person that like the more you talk shit, the better he gets. Like he's like the kind of person that's like, "Oh, you think I'm bad at basketball? I'm gonna go drop 50 real quick. I'm gonna go drop 40. I'm gonna go."
He is the epitome of "don't poke the bear to me." Like, don't do it unless you literally like. I have never seen Jamal Murray try to posterize someone, and he tried to do that last night, and he got fouled hard because that guy was like, "I am not gonna be in your highlight reel."
Absolutely not.
Not gonna do that. But yeah, Jamal, like, just don't do it. And if you do, like, everyone knows in the playoffs, like, they were booing Jamal Murray, and we were like, "Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for the motivation. Keep it up, please. Please
go ahead. He'll just play better.
He'll just play better." And it's also, I don't know about you, Caitlin, but my watch says it's February 13th. Okay, this is right when Jamal Murray finally plays himself back into shape.
Okay. This is
okay.
It's one thing that makes me so mad.
As annoying as it freaking is, you know, all of you, you know, I'm gonna kill him. Okay, but Jamal Murray, this is when he is like in his best shape, and I want to say he looks better than last year. He looks healthier, in my opinion.
I agree.
Like his legs, you know, because I fully believe that he wasn't fully healthy in that like Timberwolves series. It didn't look right. It didn't look like Jamal
He wasn't
Jamal
fully
Murray.
Healthy at the beginning of the season either. I feel like some of his other like injuries or like the time that
his niggling injuries.
gives me shivers down my spine every time. I'm like waiting for like the FBI to come out and yell at us. I don't know. I'm like, "I'm sorry." Anyway. But like, yes, I'm like, you know, some of his injuries that he's like taking kind of breaks from and everything throughout the season, I feel like he's obviously utilized that time to kind of maybe work on the injuries that have been hanging out for, you know, a year or so. Because you're right, he does look, I mean, by
he
far the healthiest
great.
That he's been this season. But especially
great.
Kool-Aid man, delicious. Honestly, Nikola Jokic is kind of the Kool-Aid man. I kind of think like that's like a good comparison for him. Like he just gives me vibes of the Kool-Aid man. I just wanted to say that. Anyway.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you to explain, but you didn't really have an explanation, so continue.
Wait, is he the one that says the Kool-Aid man? Wait, is he the one that says great? No,
it's Tony
the
Tiger. Yeah, girl. Frosted Flakes, they're great.
What does the Kool-Aid man say?
He just busts into houses and shit.
All right. So maybe he's less the Kool-Aid man. I'm going to redact that last statement. Retract. All right.
Yeah.
I'm good with words if you can't tell.
Continue.
Anyway, I feel like once All-Star break comes, he's going to have like that extra week of rest. I mean, obviously he,
yes,
again, is not an All-Star. Never use that against us ever again. Nikola Jokic does not have an All-Star teammate. Just saying. Even if Jamal Murray is playing really well, he's not an All-Star. But I think he's going to utilize that All-Star break, heal up even more, rest up even more. And I think the league could be in trouble when he comes back.
If he's going to be playing like this. He's been playing so, so good the past like 2 months, really. And even like, yeah, we've had some other guys get going, and he's done a really good job of not being like a negative in those games that he's not. Totally. And even if he had 10 points, I think, the other night, but he had like 7 assists and like 6, something like that. He was kind of getting a hand in all of the game. And he wasn't taking a bunch of shots. So it wasn't like, oh, Jamal had 10 points. Like he shot, you know, the
10%.
4 for 18, you know, it's like, yeah, he shot like, you know, 4 for 6 or something like that. So, you know, luckily
he recognizes when his like shot is off too. I feel like, yeah, he knows, and he just kind of takes that opportunity. Thankfully, you know, when you have Michael Porter Jr. in the game and he's shooting well, and, yeah, if Russ is in the game, Russell Westbrook, please come back. And Nikola Jokic, we miss you. Nikola Jokic, and when CB is playing the way that CB has also been playing, you know, averaging 18 plus points a game, I think he kind of recognizes that he can just be a facilitator those days.
He's being more mature about it. I feel like,
totally.
I feel like last year it felt a lot of, you know, because he was out for a good bit of like the first, yeah, kind of half of the season, first quarter. And Reggie Jackson was kind of like, he was playing really well, yes, you know, in that starting role. And then Jamal came back, and it almost felt like he was doing the most. And we were like, please stop. You know,
he was like almost like trying so hard to catch up and prove, yeah, that he was back and that he was fine.
He was the starter, which, mm-hmm, he is. And it, you know, there's still some nights where I'm like, Jamal, why did you take that? But as a whole, like especially in the past like couple weeks, it's been super team oriented. And he had the game ball last night. So again, if you didn't watch the game or something, Jamal Murray had 30 at the half, and then he ended up scoring 55. His previous record was 50. And it was so scary, not scary, but he had 49. And he like kind of let the lead slip a little bit, because homeboy was hunting for that, like just to get 51.
I always say, if you're trying to get a record, you're not going to get it. You got to let it come to you.
That's like yeah, Mike the other week. And that's how it felt. Like he, you know, there were a few Celtics shots that, yeah, the Celtics at the, like literally the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So, we kind of let the lead slip a little bit, which I'm like, honestly, it helped him get more. So, truly, his, you know, he hit his career high. He got the game ball, and he had it up with him during his post game, and it was signed by all of the guys. And he said,
I literally have goosebumps and tears.
He said, I brought this up here because I couldn't do it without these guys.
And the game ball was just like signed by all the players. And by he was just them. Like, he was so happy and he was so proud of it. And like, that is, it's just like you and I were texting the other night. Like one of my favorite, yeah, things is just like, team sports are so good, because like a lot of the times when you have humble superstars or just humble athletes and stuff like that, like, you know, he's right. Like a lot of the shots that he made, he wouldn't have been able to make without, you know, Jokic, yeah, setting him up, or CB setting him up, or Zeke Nnaji, you know, setting a pick and being able to do X,
them
Y, Z.
Them finding like, him because, you know, they realize that he's, yeah, hot. He's got it.
And setting him up and feeding the hot hand, and just like, I feel like, you know, the fact that he recognizes that. I mean, 55 points is a monster game. He literally
great
had
efficiency.
8 free throws.
It was almost, yes, 70% true shooting. I think it was like 68.9, you know, or
which,
yeah,
is
something
crazy.
Like that.
Crazy. Yes, which is, I mean, just an insanely efficient night. And I get it.
And
Trailblazers. But
he threw a heave to end the half. He pulled a Jokic and tried a heave, mm-hmm, which he did not get. but I'm like, there were a couple of shots that were misses that that shouldn't have, yep, counted, obviously, because they were just ridiculous. But and, yeah, I beg you to go watch the highlights of that game, because there were like a few scoop layups that he made that literally like bounced, I think twice, that bounced off the backboard.
and just sat there and then finally tipped in and he was just like sitting on the ground. And it was just so, like, it was such Bubble Murray.
Yes, it was such like a
vintage such Bubble like a, Murray.
Yeah, such a fun night for him. Just, you know, like I always say this and I will beat a dead horse with it. There's nothing like players playing with joy. And, you know, a lot of the time when players, especially someone like Jamal Murray, who like knows that they can compete at that level, but, you know, starts the season with 10 points a game and 3 assists and, you know, is like having the worst start to a season ever. And then having him be able to hang on with his team. Like, I feel like this team has fought through a lot of adversity and a lot of people doubting them all season. And they literally, you know, went from, God, what were they? They were like 10th at one point at the beginning of the season, because like everyone was fighting for, you know, just any places in the seeding, and trying to just win games. And we were playing so bad and so embarrassing.
So bad.
Literally at one point, I literally was like, what if we stay in the play-in? Like, what if we stay seated like down here and we stay in the play-in? But I feel like they fought through like a lot of adversity and they've won a lot of really tough games. They've lost a lot of stupid games. The Wizards, the Trailblazers the first time.
Do we need to bring it back up?
I'm just saying, that's why I was concerned, because they've just been through so much adversity. And so for this team to just like be having such good vibes, even with several of their players injured, like these guys are still on the bench, so hyped for their team. And, you know, these guys are able to come out and play as a team now. And, you know, we're gonna figure out that defense by playoffs, I promise. And then you won't want to see us, because then we'll be extra good.
Nuggets have already showed that they're just lazy, okay? And they'll
score,
you know,
160 before they stop you from scoring one.
Well, no, I just meant our earlier win streak before we had those like awkward three games in between our eight game yes. win streak. Now we were a top, you know, like top three in defense or something. So yep. I'm not worried about the Nuggets at all. They've been there, and you know, We were like 15th in defense going into the playoffs, and then we were a top three defense our championship year. So I'm actually, before I was really concerned, but now that I've seen them turn it on, I'm like, oh, you guys are just like being lazy, because we're not even past the All-Star break. But like, they have showed that they have that.
They can. Yeah, they can.
Yeah. Moving on to another player, we have to talk about Christian Brown, which we call CB.
My eyes are twitching.
So aggravated at the national media. I mean, we already know you didn't want to talk about Jokic for 500 years anyway. But now we have another player who has moved into a starting role, and he's not like in the conversation for MIP. And everyone's like, well, Cade's going to win it. I'm like, Cade had an amazing year last year. He's only getting better. But I'm like, Christian Brown has gone, like, he's upped everything. Like,
he's doubled almost everything.
Doubled almost everything, including efficiency. And I think the funniest, you know, thing was that like he was supposed to come in as our, not KCP, but fill that role of like our defensive menace.
3-and-D guy. Yeah.
And I think what's most hilarious is how efficient offensively he is. And he's like a good defender. Like,
he's fine.
He's not elite, but he's good. And it's like, out of all the amalgamations of like what could have happened this year, like I didn't think it was going to be Christian Brown literally averaging like almost 20 points a game. He's number one in transition points right now.
He's our transition king.
He has some of like the best touch, like his euros in transition, and then like the way he'll pull his back and slow down because he's so fast.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Yes, that's what I was about to say, is like one of the things that always amazes me, and it's something that even like the best of the best still can't do sometimes, is like CB's so athletic and so strong and so fast that like he'll get a steal, or, you know, he'll be already halfway down the court when someone else gets a steal and they'll throw it up court to him. But he's going like highest speed possible, and he can still like slow it down perfectly enough and lay the ball in so just so calm and so comfortably. Like his efficiency in transition is incredible. Like he's not someone that I ever worry about when it comes to, you know, throwing the ball, you know, all the way up court or down court to him. He's amazing. And that's the first thing.
Jokic automatically looks up. And mm-hmm. he's become so efficient at playing Jokic ball, which I promise you, if you run in transition, Jokic is always going to find you. And if you cut a lot, Jokic is always going to find you underneath the basket. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when you have people like Jokic and Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr., you're like assumed top three, where people are trying to make sure that, you know, they're always on help defense on them or double teaming totally. Or close to it or covering those bases, they sag off of CB a lot. And I don't think like, and I think lately they've realized that they can't do that, but he's just been so, so incredible. And, you know, even I need to look up how much he had last night, because it's like, even though it was like kind of the Jamal game, I have it pulled up. Christian okay, had good. 21, 10, and 6, two steals and a block. He had a double-double on a night that he's, you know, like, again, like, just you wouldn't even think about it, because he has just been such an efficient, perfect role player for us. And I'm honestly, yeah. like, scared and also, like, happy, I guess, that they're not talking about him, because I don't need any other teams trying to get Christian Brown. And I also don't need him to get more expensive, because I think his rookie contract is up soon. So that's mm-hmm. what I worry about.
Because he's in year three currently.
Yeah. So that's the only thing with Christian, you know, I'm like, oh, shit. I mean, you're really amazing, dude, but, like, chill out. Maybe we should fly under the radar.
And if you don't know a lot about CB, CB has won a championship at every level, high school, college, and in the NBA.
I think they won high school like 3 times in a row or something.
Literally, it's like multiple times. Like
he's a winner.
He is a born winner. Yes, he's always been like that. And like the greatest thing about him is like that he's one of those people that like you can always expect to put in the work and put in like the hard work, the dirty work, if you need him to, you know, go guard your best offensive player for a few possessions. Like he's all in. He's going to do it.
He's up for the challenge always.
Exactly. And it's just like, it's so fun to watch him, and he's genuinely grown so much. Like you said, like about the MIP conversation, I really don't know, because I mean, last year he was averaging like almost 8 points a game and you know, something like really small. And like just in his last 15 games, just kind of as we've been rounding the corner to this last half of the season, he's averaging 18.5 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, and almost 4 assists per game. I mean, like that's like your third best player. Like
I did not think that he was literally going to become like. And the thing is he has been so consistent, and we struggled a lot with that. Sometimes Michael has a good night. Sometimes Jamal has a good night. Sometimes they have good nights together. But again, it's like, it really depends. And CB has like been that constant guy who's going to grab you rebounds and going to get you points. And
you want to know I'm who like, he reminds me
so
of?
So proud of him. Who?
He reminds me a lot of Andrew Wiggins on the Warriors, because Andrew Wiggins on the Warriors was like always that guy. Like we used to joke because he literally would get 17 points every single game, every game didn't matter. Like he was good for 17 points. And that's just kind of like what CB reminds me of, is like the kind of guy that like you can consistently expect to get anywhere between like
production,
13 and 20 points. And he's going to be grabbing rebounds. You know, he's going to grab you anywhere between 5 and 10 rebounds and assists. He'll always be passing the ball. He always, for the most part, makes good choices. And he has just, he's really, really blossomed.
He's definitely like a low mistake player for the most part.
I agree.
You know, for once, I don't really have a ton to say about Jokic other than like, you know, his quiet night last night was a 25-point triple-double. Yawn. Washed.
I was gonna text you last night and be like, did you see Jokic's stat line? What a freaking loser.
Man, 25 point triple double was it. You know, he hadn't even taken a shot like in the first half of the first quarter, and I think that's like, again, literally his dream. He was like, Jamal has it going tonight. Yes.
Like, can we I was gonna say, Jokic totally lives for when his teammates are having good nights, because he's like, I can just pass the ball. I can just find my guys and pass the ball.
Just finding
my guys. I don't have to score. Yeah. But like, I do just want to say the one thing about Jokic I wanted to talk about was the halftime. At halftime when CB was shooting free throws. Was it CB? I think it was. He was shooting free throws at halftime. And because he went up for a layup.
Are you talking about the tip?
Yes.
That was Jamal.
Was it Jamal?
Jamal missed a free throw and Jokic tipped it in.
Oh, yes. Okay, thank you. I was like, it was either CB or Jamal. That's what I thought. Okay, so it was Jamal. Jamal was shooting his free throws, and he made his first one and then goes and misses
the second
one. There's like
0.5 seconds left.
0.5 seconds left on the clock at halftime. And this is like the one thing that's incredible about Jokic is that like any time left on the clock is time enough to score. That's why he always says, like, even if there's 1 second left on the clock and we're on the opposite side of the court, they're going to hand it to him and he'll literally throw a full court shot. Like, he's going to try no matter what.
He has, like, 18 heaves this season, which is obviously more than anyone in the NBA. And he's fourth in three-point percentage, I think. And, again, if you take out the heaves, you know, because he only has made one of them, he was so vindicated by the fact that he made that one, like, full court. Now he's never going to stop. And you know, like, that's Jamal Murray doesn't usually miss free throws. Like, he's our designated technical free throw shooter. And he missed that second one, and Jokic like came from the top of the key.
Yes, he was waiting behind Jamal. Yes,
and
he was waiting behind Jamal
and just volleyballed like little tap to get us an extra 2 points.
And I mean, like, genuinely, like, he didn't hold the ball. He didn't, like, aim his shot. Like, Jamal was shooting his free throw, and Jokic was behind him. And the second that the ball left Jamal's hands, Jokic sprints through, through the key and everything like that, and just literally taps it in. Yeah. Easy peasy. And just gets the extra 2 points.
And on Monday night, he had he didn't have a triple-double.
The corner.
Again, loser. I'm sure most of you have seen his Sombor triple literally falling, you know. But he had 40 points, seven rebounds, 8 assists on almost 70% field goal percentage and 78.4% true shooting. He had 30 points at, was it the half? I take it back. Just kidding.
Was it the
three
half?
Quarters. In three quarters, yeah. I can't with Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray even talked about him in his post-game presser. He talked about how he was like, it's just like so insane how Jokic is obviously always getting double teamed, but then he either like knows how to just move his body a different way or find everyone else like where they are. And he's like, I just don't think y'all understand like how hard it is. And Jamal's like, I'm trying to like implement some of what he does, cause it's just like literally insane. And I think my favorite part of this year is that Jokic has just like gotten even smarter. It's like, as if that was possible. Like his like literal basketball IQ just increases more. And that's weird. I wanted to kind of talk about if, and we're going to get so much hate on this, but hear me out. Walk with me. The Nuggets are only a half game behind Memphis right now. You know, they're in that battle for the 2 seed. You have, I think, towards the end, it's obviously going to be OKC and Nuggets. And I'm not even saying in the Western Conference Finals, just kind of like the top two like seeds. But the thing is, Caitlin, you know who's been there before?
Us.
The Nuggets. And you know who hasn't? And has showed now, even in the in-season tournament. And I'm going to get so much hate because you OKC fans are literally so ruthless and mean. Don't care. I'm going to be nice to you anyway. Yeah, the in-season tournament, lights were too bright. You know, last year, you know, I will say they are a literal defensive force. Okay, they are like 4 points above everyone in defense, like the entire league. And if you didn't know this, the gap between first and second teams in like in defense is the same gap between the second and 11th team. Okay, so I'm not saying that OKC is bad in any way.
Wow.
I'm just saying, if I'm betting on it, I'm not betting on anyone, I'm so sorry, to beat Nikola Jokic when everyone else is, you know, healthy, productive, if Jamal looks healthy, I'm not betting on anyone to beat Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets 4 times.
Yeah, I...
That's a lot of times. In a one-off, maybe. 4 times?
That's so true. For me, I think that, like, in my heart of hearts, as a Nuggets fan, I'm like, we're literally champions now. Like, sorry, give us the ring. Like, in my head, that's...
I see Jamal not looking like he's, like, literally limping last night. I was like, oh, it is over the league. Over.
Yeah. But you're right. Like, I, you know, for me, like, I can't discount what OKC has done just because they've been consistently this incredible all year.
No matter what, and it's really annoying.
Yes, literally. I think it would feed families to have a OKC Denver Nuggets Western Conference Finals. I know that it might not pan out that way. But like, just, you know, your two top MVP candidates going against each other, two of the most fun. I know that people will argue that Nikola Jokic is not fun to watch because he's boring and slow or whatever. But if you really like basketball and you spent any time watching him, you would just be absolutely appalled by the things that this man does. And Shea, I get it. Shea is fun to watch a lot of the time because he is like that fast, athletic, like, he's the, like, kind of person that, like, you
when
want.
He,
like,
drives
John
to the basket. Like, honestly, I was watching the other night and I'm like, honestly, I think I might understand why he's getting all these fouls, because he's literally going so fast that I don't even think that they can see. And they're like, oh, well, we'll just blow the whistle anyway.
So it's funny that you say that. And I don't know if we're even going to talk about OKC. So I'm going to throw this in here while we're talking about just the two of these teams together. I was watching their game last night and I was like, you know what? Like, because the thing is like, I always get defending your favorite players and defending your favorite team. I'm never going to be nasty to someone about it who disagrees that the Nuggets are their favorite team. I get that a lot of people are like, who are the Denver Nuggets? Like, you guys have Nikola Jokic and what else? Like, if you don't spend a lot of time watching the Nuggets, you're not going to think that we're as good as we think that we are. But if you spend a lot of time watching them, you would understand.
Okay, just like, we probably don't think, you know, your team is as good as,
exactly. Yes, it's a bias, and I'm gonna always admit that I have that bias, and that I'm always gonna think my team is the best. I call the Denver Nuggets
the best franchise. And I was like, it's my team. Of course I'm going to say
let
that.
Me love them. Jesus. Yeah. Like, for me, I'm like, I'm also a fan of the Golden State Warriors. And I literally was like, I've got Steph Curry on my team. We're going to win 3 championships in a row while he's 40 years old. Like, I know that I'm insane. Okay. Like, I think that all my teams are going to win the championship, and that physically can't happen. So, like, let me be delusional. Impossible. Literally impossible. But what I was going to say is, so I was watching the OKC game last night, and I, OKC fans, don't clip this. Don't be sending it around. Okay, it's the only time I'm going to be nice. But I saw several plays where SGA got fouls called, and he was not grifting. And someone pointed out to me the other day, and I really appreciated this comment because it made me kind of like, not watch it differently, but like watch a little bit more intently, because every time I see him like flail his body, I'm like changing the channel. I'm like, never again. I cannot. Mm-mm, no, thank you. And OKC, if you didn't know, they've had like kind of a rough start to the week. Like they were getting their butts kicked by, oh, I don't even know who it was the other day. They were getting their butts kicked in the beginning of the game. I think it was the Heat. And then they ended up winning.
That was last night. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then they ended up winning. But at the beginning of the game, I was just, you know, I was watching, and like Shea's shots weren't falling in. And I told Spencer, I was like, I just said out loud that OKC is down by 8 in like the first few minutes of the game. shade of the line. Like, it's going to be shade of the line. That's exactly what's going to happen, is he's going to get himself to the free throw line, which, again, it's not my favorite, but, you know, you do what you got to do to help your team win. And it was really funny because literally 10 seconds later, literally he went to the line like several times in a row. But so I thought that was funny, but that's not even what I'm trying to say. I kept watching. I'm just going on rants today. I kept watching, and you know what? It was actually very impressive. He's so fast and smooth with the ball. He takes, for the most part, very good care of the ball. I think he had a few turnovers yesterday, but for the most part, he can be incredibly fast and incredibly athletic while also taking care of the ball. And there was, at one point, defenders trying to keep up with him and trying to stay ahead of him, because when you're playing one-on-one defense on someone like Shea, your feet are moving fast AF. It is so hard, unless you are an incredible one-on-one perimeter type defender, it is so hard to be able to keep accurate spacing. That's why, like, what Dyson Daniels does and what Alex Caruso does, guys like that are incredible because they can defend guys like Shea without fouling multiple times. But there were just people trying to be on Shea, and Shea was just playing regular basketball, and these guys would try to get so close up to him, and they were hooking their arms around his because he just went for the shot and they didn't know how to get out of his way. And I'm like, all right, I see that. I see that. I see what people are saying about him being so fast that defenders can't give any space and that defenders can't get out of the way before he shoots sometimes. Sometimes.
Like, preface sometimes. That, girlfriend. Yeah.
That's why I said, yeah, sometimes. Like I said, I watched him in the beginning make himself go to the free throw line. So I witnessed the regular SGA, but he, I do just want to say that I see what you're saying. And I understand.
He is not very fast.
Of his free throws are grifty. You're welcome. You're welcome. But save it.
A lot of them are. Anyway, I want to move on to the Phoenix Suns. Is their season cooked?
Yes. I mean, I feel like you and I have known that for like ever.
Funny you say that. I was going to say, I've been, you know, not to say that we know ball or anything, but while all of you I've been trying to say that they're contenders, you know who has not wavered? Is Caitlin and I, since the summer, since before we even watched this team play, have said, this team has no defense. Nurkic and Plumlee can't do anything for you. Well, you had to get rid of Nurkic. They had to bench Nick Richards the other night when they lost. And then they lost again last night. They've now lost three in a row. They have absolutely zero defense. Okay. And then again, their big three is never healthy. And I just want to say that they are cooked. When you have to start Bol Bol, and you know what? Shout out Bol Bol.
Because he had such a good game.
He had himself a game the other night.
I was literally so hype watching him. I was like, Bol Bol.
But when Caitlin and I found out that Bol Bol was starting two games ago, I was like, huh, that's a choice.
That's literally what both of us, we both were like, that is a choice. That is someone who is in the starting five.
My butt is in the seat. My eyes are glued to the TV. And he actually did a great job, like, protecting the rim.
He was amazing. Yeah.
I mean, again, Wemby's not the only, like, 7'3" guy. Wemby just has, like, 3 inches more wingspan than him, which is very disturbing when you think about it.
And a disgusting 3-point shot, which is so unfair.
Yeah, I mean, I texted Caitlin, though. So Bol Bol, like, his first minutes, his first, like, start, I think, ever probably in the NBA.
Oh,
and
incredible.
He literally had, like, a block and then an assist and then a steal and then a pull-up three-pointer. I was like, Bol Bol, question mark?
Several really amazing possessions. And you know what? He's the kind of guy, like, I feel like he's always had such a good attitude, and I don't know him personally, so maybe he's an asshole.
Everyone loves him, though. He has been a fan favorite. Yes. He was in Denver. Everyone loved him.
Forever.
Everyone is obsessed with him in Phoenix. Like, he is a fan favorite, and it's hilarious.
He is. And he's just like I said, he seems very sweet, very genuine, just like,
yeah.
He's very much so a stay ready guy. Like, he's been on the deep bench, and this Suns team has gone through so much front court, like, at least with your fours and fives, like, just so many big men they've gone through. I mean, I guess you have KD, so maybe not so much the four, but they just have so many guys that they have been through. I mean, between going back and forth, benching Plumlee, benching Nurkic every other game, like, they literally were going back and forth benching them. And then, of course, you get rid of Nurkic and you add in Nick Richards, and then Nick Richards doesn't perform the way that you're hoping he performs. Then you bench him, and it's just like, it's such a mess in their front court that, like, you physically can't do anything. If you don't have any good rim protectors and you don't have anyone that can really score inside the paint besides Kevin Durant, like, nothing is going to happen for you. And I mean, like, they have an incredible perimeter, you know, set of perimeter guys. They have Grayson Allen. You've got Devin Booker. You know, obviously you have KD, who can do a little bit of everything. Shout out to KD for 30,000 career points. Like, you know, you have all these guys, like, who can score and who are amazing scorers. Devin Booker just became the number one scorer in franchise history for the Suns and everything like that. And so, like, you have these guys who are breaking records and breaking offensive records, but you are lacking depth and you are lacking defense. And, you know, just with your big three, even if they're injured, you can get to the first round. But just like last year, you're just going to end up getting swept in the first round by whoever you play. What, you get eighth seed and you end up playing OKC and you get absolutely worked inside the entire game and just completely obliterated on defense? Like, you know, like, I don't think that they have a path. They don't have a path to the finals.
I texted Caitlin and I, because I could not believe the night, you know, 3 nights ago that Katie got the 30,000 points. Mm-hmm. The last possession, they're down, like, it was a dogfight towards the end.
I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
It was a dogfight towards the end, and they could have, you know, had a chance to, if they had made a three and then probably fouled, like, there was a way, okay, to win this game, you know? And the very last possession that they get, KD is dribbling it up, passes it to Bol Bol. Bol Bol rightfully passes it back to KD. Literally,
he said, not
like,
me.
Like, WTF, Kevin Durant.
I'm Bol Bol, Kevin. I'm Bol not Bol taking the last shot.
And it's the last shot. And then Kevin Durant passes it back to him and makes him take the last, like, three of the game, which they bricked. And then, you know, and then the game was over. And I could not believe I was like, the guy that literally just hit 30,000 points in this game.
Kevin.
Only, and mind you, only eight people in the entirety of the NBA have done that. That is no small feat. It's incredible. Okay.
It's insane.
And I'm like, huh? Bol Bol? Yeah.
The guy who's getting his first NBA start.
Like, be so for real.
Come on.
Be so for real. Yeah, the Phoenix Suns are cooked. I don't think they have anything to go in the season. I didn't want to, like, talk about them forever, so that's kind of all I had to say. But I don't think there's any hope for them.
Me neither. And RIP to them. I don't know how they're going to fix it. You've got a great coach in Budenholzer. They're already talking about how KD's going to get traded. And if KD gets traded, what? Yeah, I mean, if I were the Suns, you have to have respect for Devin Booker and let him go somewhere else. Like, you can't keep him hostage. Yes.
Please. That's how
he
I'm
could
like,
be
literally.
So good.
Save KD. It's the end of his career. Save, you know, save Devin Booker.
Save Devin Booker. Build around Bradley Beal. You work on that with his no trade clause.
Yeah, you'll have fun with that. I just have to mention this team real quick because they're my guilty pleasure team, which is fitting because it's like, if you haven't heard their song, it's the Pistons win again. I have to play it. Hold on.
Can you please? I don't think I've listened
to
it.
It's on TikTok.
It.
Can you hear it? Just wait.
This is one again.
So this was the other night, though. This was them.
This is one again.
Them saying coming off. And then
yes, I saw that video. I love.
And then Asar goes, "I'm not saying that."
I'm not saying that.
So, you know, the Pistons won again. And the other night, if you didn't know, Malik Beasley, RIP, former Denver Nugget, he beat the...
Love him.
I think it was the single season. Hold on. Beasley made his, made 7 3-pointers on the place. Wow. That was a lot. So they played the Bulls back to back. That's what it was. Okay. And they first of all, the Pistons annihilated them on Tuesday. And they were up by 50 at one point, 5-0 in the third quarter. Okay.
And still won by 40 with, you know, deep benching.
Malik, their garbage time started literally in the second quarter. Malik Beasley was 7 for 10 from three. And after that, that was his 212th of the season, which is a new Detroit Pistons single season record. Sadiq Bey had it originally with a 211. And that's so crazy to me because it's literally only February.
That's so true. He literally has like 2+ months and they're like in playoff contention.
They're
literally sixth in the Eastern Conference. Like, so they could be playing throughout.
Since like December, they're like the seventh best record in the NBA.
Yep.
That's
like
insane.
the whole ass NBA.
So the Pistons won again and they put belt to ass both nights.
They're just fun to watch. It's a bunch of young dogs. I love them.
I love Cade Cunningham. He had last night 29 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. I really love Jalen Duren on this team. 16 points, 14 rebounds last night. And then Asar Thompson, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. You just have a whole bunch of young guys and they like just look so happy for each other. Like I hate to say this because I'm going to sound, y'all are going to make fun of me, but they for real got it out the mud. Like they were in the trenches last season. Trenches. And now they are going on and doing so well. And you can just tell that they've like built this camaraderie of like all losing together. And when Malik Beasley finally, like, he apparently had checked with the their announcer people or their the people that commentators. And he was like, how many is it? And they were like, you need one more, like, at one of the breaks. And as soon as he got it, he literally, like, they called him out and he, to like go back to the bench for a timeout or something. He literally like hopped all the way over and like jumped into one of the guy's arms. Like, it's just, they've been so, so fun to watch. And Cade obviously is an incredible leader, no matter that he's like super young and it's his second year. But I think that, you know, the Pistons aren't the team of old, aren't the team of days past. And I love
them. The Pistons, to me, are like the Eastern Conference's Rockets. Like a bunch of guys, several guys that got drafted into the team. Last year, the Rockets were one of the bottom teams in the Western Conference. The Pistons were obviously one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst team in the league last year. I don't remember if the Wizards ended up being worse than them by the end of the year. But, you know, like two awful teams that have come out and like have just built beautiful basketball. And they're able to like be excited for each other and hype for each other because they were so bad and they went through the mud together, like you say. And now they're just building their way out of it and playing great basketball. And they have fantastic team chemistry, I think, because of that. Like when you lose together, it makes winning together like so much more
that
sweet.
Much sweeter. I love them. Mm-hmm. You know who is really, 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 really losing? The Sixers. They need to wrap it up. Get well soon. Adios. You know when Bronny James scores more points in a game than Paul George? You've got some issues, man. Okay, last night they lose. Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid were out. Obviously, it was a back-to-back. Joel Embiid was not going to play then. The Sixers are just so bad, man. Paul George in 30 minutes had 2 points.
He was what, like 1 for 7? They wanted to trade. Crazy.
They wanted to trade Michael Porter Jr. for Paul George. People wanted
Never.
People wanted that. That man is old. Let the man podcast.
I am not people.
Podcast P, stick to the podcasting game. Paul George stands for please get better. Please get well soon. Please go out the league. Please go to Canada, I don't know, anywhere else. Paul George, I'm so sorry, but like when you have your two like top guys out and it's like, okay, Paul George, like you can run the game, right? Like you can run the crew for one night for us. No, he could not. He said
it hurts so bad because like I've always loved Paul George too, and like it's like the same with like him and Kawhi and everyone else, and I'm just like watching them. I'm like, you need to hang it up before the game hangs you up, baby.
Like, pack it up, bestie.
Quit the game before the game quits you.
Like, in my, like, eyes, like, I want to end on a high. Like, I'm not ending when I am playing 30 minutes and getting 2 points. Like, mind you, I'm not playing in the league at all. So, I, you know what? Like, you don't have to listen to my opinion at all, Paul George. You're making millions of dollars.
Straight up.
But period. Why don't we just focus on the podcast? Because the Sixers... They need to get rid of Joel Embiid this summer. Like they just need to. You know, my worst take of the season must have been in the offseason, me saying that this is the 76ers' best chance to win a ring because they had so many people around them. No.
You know what? No. I'm going to save you on this one because one, I agreed with you, and I'm not going down with you here, bitch.
I'm sure, okay? I'm not the only one.
I'm just kidding. But we talked about this a lot in the off season, and I genuinely believe that if their team were healthy, like I'm talking a healthy Paul George able to actually play, a healthy Joel Embiid who plays more than 14 games in the entire season, a healthy Tyrese Maxey who didn't F up his wrist or whatever the heck it was where he was out for several weeks, Jared McCain not, you know, having to get surgery or season-ending surgery. You know, there were so many, like, major and bad injuries. And then I feel like they were set up so nicely on paper. It could have been so good. But these are just a bunch of guys, besides Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey is overall a very healthy guy. But like the rest of them, I'm like, these are guys that are just very injury prone. And like, yes, in their best years, they were incredible, but they can't stay healthy long enough to be incredible. And so I think you're right. I think they got to wrap it up. They got to hang it up. I just don't know who's going to pick up Joel Embiid, though, if the Sixers get rid of him? Yeah, period.
I mean, there's so many, like, rebuilding teams that'll spend all of their money randomly to get Joel Embiid.
Get someone that's going to only play 20 minutes and you have to spend $60 million on him?
But it's just, I mean, the Warriors just paid Jimmy the 60-something million.
Knock on wood, but he's been great so far. That's okay. He's decently healthy right now, sort of. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I assume, like, the Hornets or someone random will, of course. Like, no one's going to get Joel Embiid. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he can go play with Miles Bridges in prison. I mean, he doesn't need to go to prison, but, like, if he wants to go do some community service at the local prison with Miles Bridges, then I think he should. Get those community service hours up.
Sorry. Adios.
Yeah. It's pretty sad. But Quentin Grimes did amazing after being traded away. He had 30 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So go him. I love you, Quentin Grimes. I'm sorry you were traded away from the Mavs, but at least now they look dumb because he played so well. They look dumber, I should say.
Yeah. Speaking of the Mavs get the win against the Warriors. The first loss in Jimmy Butler's Golden State tenure. Can we talk about Buddy Hield for a second?
No. Sure can't. Sure can't.
Do you want to hear a cute little stat?
No. Go ahead. I'm plugging my ears.
In Buddy Hield's first 7 games, he had six games with 20 or more points.
I know this stat. Yeah.
Oh, and he's had 1 since.
I
don't know why I'm
believe.
Cheesing. He was my 6th. He was my 6th man of the year pick.
I have his jersey. I believed in him.
Yeah. You could see that Steph and Draymond were not having it last night.
So I'm guessing you watched the game last night, right?
Yeah. I watched most of it.
So most, how do I put this? This team, the Warriors team, the only people I have ever really like seen them yell at, the vets, is like Pods, but it's because Pods is charged by that and he's very coachable. Like you can scream in Pods' face and tell him what he needs to do and he'll pout and stomp off, but he'll adjust and he'll figure it out. And then you're fine after the game because he wants to be better and he likes to learn. And so that's like, I don't know why it's like always him. He's like the bad dog that they always yell at. And he adjusts and stuff. But like Buddy Hield has made several people in the past few weeks, like several players come out of the woodworks and like be pissed off. Like he's not getting to his spots. Like they'll be like running plays or running a different sort of offense. And he won't be running it right. He won't be getting to a spot. He'll go somewhere else. He'll miss his pass. He'll have an open shot and then hesitate and then like make a bad pass or shoot a stupid shot instead after he hesitates. Like he's just been, his decision-making has absolutely plummeted. Like, I might get him tested for COVID, the sneezes, memory loss.
The thing is when you're so a bad player that is supposed to be an offensive player and like you're not a defensive player, when you're a non-defensive player who's not creating any offense, not great. You know,
it hurts so bad.
Yeah. And I think this was just, I was shocked that the Mavs won, but I mean, it was kind of small ball against small ball.
That's what I was going to say.
Went off. Yeah. So,
well, and that's a hard part is like, so, you know, and this is so typical Warriors is that the Mavs had like 8 people out with injuries and the Warriors had Jonathan Kuminga out. And first of all, that's embarrassing. Okay. So like the Warriors have no excuse in that sense to even be that close to the Mavs in this situation with how many people are out and hurt, especially because what a good matchup for the Warriors to not have a big.
Yeah.
Like the Warriors have never really had a true big and the Mavs come out here with no front court. Like this is prime Warriors territory. Like they should have gone out there and killed it. But like Steph Curry only had 12 points throughout like 3 quarters and then scored like 13 in like the fourth quarter or the third quarter, something crazy like that. And so first of all, it's very frustrating as a fan. Like, and this is, I get that it's like Steph Curry and that's what he does. He was clutch player of the year last year. He's a very incredible clutch player. Like obviously if you need a last shot, Steph Curry is going to be the only one to get the ball. I say that, but you know, they've shot up plays for Draymond before, or written up plays for Draymond before. So, it's so frustrating when Steph is playing bad and we fall so far behind. Yeah. And then he randomly starts playing good in the last 6 minutes of the game. And then we catch up and we're so close and then we don't win. But it's
the Nuggets don't have a guy that's done shit like that.
Never done that.
Man, that's crazy. Sucks that's to be weird, the Warriors. Right?
Losers.
Jamal Murray would never do that.
He could never. He could never only shoot the last shot. but that's like, That was really frustrating for me. And everyone knows, like, I'm Steph Curry's freaking biggest fan. I swear to God, I would have like a shrine of him. Not actually, but like, I love him. He's my favorite player, second favorite player, tied for first with Nikola Jokic, let's be honest here. But like, one of my favorite people to watch in the entire world. He's a guy that exudes joy. He's an incredible 3-point shooter. I modeled my basketball play after him, like when I was in high school, and someone that I've always loved and admired. So I'm not sitting here shitting on him. I don't think Steph is washed, but it is really frustrating as a fan. That he decides to just show up in clutch time sometimes and we're kind of like crawling our way back as opposed to like if he would just play his game the entire game, we would be way closer and we wouldn't need to be crawling back from 20 down, you know? Have you heard about Draymond getting a notice from the league?
No.
Okay, so we all know Draymond, right? Everyone knows that Draymond is a hothead. Draymond, you know, has gotten suspended. And gasp. He's, I know, right? Gasp, surprise. You know, he's had to go to freaking therapy. I know, I am so shocked. But he has, I feel like, been doing way better this year. He's been normal Draymond in the sense that, like, he still has, like, the passion and the fire, and he's still as hypey as always, and he plays, you know, I would say, like, aggressive, but, like, not in, like, an actual, like, punch you in the face kind of way. He's an aggressive defender, and he plays really physical defense and stuff. He hasn't even been getting, like, an excessive amount of texts. He hasn't been getting in a bunch of fights. He's had no flagrant fouls, nothing like that, at least recently. And the league literally sent him a notice saying, you're playing way too aggressive. This is your warning. And he literally said that, like, they didn't even, like, expand. They didn't tell him how he was playing too aggressive, what he did to play too aggressive.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Nothing. And so he's like, I don't know what that means for me. Like, I'm a physical basketball player. Like, that's
what do you want, like, me to do?
Yeah, he was like the
I'm
only way that I've been playing
people out this year. What do you want me to do?
Literally, I'm not punching people. I'm not choking people out. I'm not cussing at refs this year. Like, come on. And that's what he said. He's like, I didn't realize that, like, me being locked in and me being in go win mode was too aggressive for the league. He's like, I haven't been doing anything. Like, I'm just playing. Like, he's a depoy. Like, he plays that kind of defense. That's who he is. So I thought that was hilarious that they literally were like, you better calm down with those arguments.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's so funny. I wanted to talk about the Mavs end a little bit, because the Mavs obviously have everyone out essentially. And they've got Kyrie now. Kyrie had 42 points. Insane. Okay, but Kyrie played 40 minutes. So I think I worry the most, because it's like the Mavs, you know, got the win. Max Christie, though, amazing pickup for Dallas.
Shout out
to my
guy.
For Max Christie, I think. Like, he's obviously already getting more playing time. He had 17 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He has been incredible, like, ever since he started. He's just been consistent in all of his games so far. Like, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists the other night, 23-2-2. He seems comfortable
on this team.
Yes, he fits in really, really well, and he's getting, like, an opportunity that I don't think he was going to be afforded in LA. Just, like, the time, you know, the minutes. But I, like, obviously, Mavs, like, you play against, you know, Golden State, like, you're going to have the chance to get the win when you're out Gafford and Lively and AD. Like, you have a chance because they're small ball. The thing is, though, like, Kyrie can do things like that, but, like, once you get to the playoffs, playing, like, if they're going to have to, if they want to make the playoffs, play him like that, like, this whole probably final stretch.
Yeah.
If they want to win, and that's kind of what Nuggets had to do, they were chasing the one seed last year, you know, and then we were exhausted in playoffs. So I kind of worry about that with the Mavs. Like, if they're trying so hard, you know, to stay in the play-in or, you know, make the playoffs, you're going
to
run
fight
Kyrie,
for their position, like, just to hang
on. Kyrie's older, obviously, for the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, he's older for the NBA, and, you know, he's not always healthy. He's usually out. He really is every few weeks for, like, 4 games or so, with, like, a weird tweak or something. So I really worry about if the Mavs and, like, don't get everyone back, like, in the next month or so, what happens to that team? Like, where they go.
And especially even if they do get everyone back, like, it's still really close to playoff time. And so can you keep that team chemistry, like, that on-court team chemistry? Will things,
and, like,
you know, still
the guys that have been
place?
Sitting out aren't in game shape. Like, and especially when you
and
get
you're going
to the,
straight into the playoffs like that.
When you are playing 40 minutes a game, you know, you are shortening your rotation. So that's, like, I have a big question mark with the Mavs, because when everyone's healthy and in shape, you know, of course, we saw, like, a blip of, you know, almost everyone, and it looked great. But I really worry, you know, and then we can move on to the other end of the trade, because now that they're just going to be talked about together forever.
And I just, before we even like jump into the Lakers losing to the Jazz, I do just want to throw this in about the stupid refs of the Warriors and Mavs game. There were, I've never seen a game like this before. 5 overturned calls. Like, not that they were challenged, nothing like that. Like, they decided to go and look at these calls that they made to overturn them, like, just on their own. A couple were challenges that were the most asinine calls in the entire world. All 5 of them went to benefit the Mavs. I've never seen that before, where they literally had 5 calls just be overturned on the court right there to benefit another team. Like, I'm talking, one was a freaking kicked ball. The guy literally punted the ball with his leg and they didn't call it. And they called it like out on the fucking Warriors. And Kyrie Irving was literally in the air moving during a charge that he took and they called it a block. And then they overturned it to a charge because they were like, no way, he was set. His feet were literally off the ground and like moving backwards. No, he was not. So many calls like that, 5 of them. And so when you're like down 1 with a couple minutes left in the game, like those calls impact the game and you're sitting here overturning every single one of them to benefit the Mavs.
Yeah, looks
did you have money
fishy
on the Mavs, refies? And I'm not saying that the Warriors deserve to win or that they would have won, just because, like I said, Steph Curry had a rough game. A lot of guys on that team had a really, really, really crappy first 3 quarters. The team didn't show up till the 4th. So I'm not saying that like they lost us the game, but those are really important calls. And it has been happening so many times, not just to the Warriors, but to several other teams. Get your shit together, refs. I'm over it.
They never will. Was Ben Taylor officiating? Probably.
No, it was James Gucci Mane Williams, and he hates the Warriors, hates them, which is part of the reason that everyone, I mean, he literally was the one overturning the calls. Like, and he's always had a thing out for the Warriors. So I don't know. It was super fishy. It was a really crappy way. Like, I would so much rather lose the game ethically than like have the refs handing it over. Like, the Mavs were probably going to beat us anyway. You don't have to like miss blatant kicked balls when a guy punts. Literally, Spencer, his leg was out like this. His leg was off the ground 3 feet in the air, kicked out, and he punted the ball.
You can't miss those calls in close games.
No, when there's 2 minutes left in a 1-point game, like, absolutely not. Like, and it happened literally multiple times. So, like I said, I'm not taking away from the Mavs win. The Mavs had literally 90% of their team out, and they came out and they beat a Warriors team with a lot of great players. I'm not going to say a good Warriors team. A Warriors team with a lot of really great players. They came out and they did it, so shout out to them, but F the refs. Anyway, on to Lakers.
We are sick of you. Yeah, on to the Lakers. We'll talk about them quick because we have to go. But yeah, Lakers lose to the Jazz. Really awkward after they came out and whooped the Jazz at first. And then you get whooped by the Jazz are trying to lose. Like, the Jazz are actively tanking. They are
on
tanking.
On purpose.
On purpose.
And it was so bad.
I feel like Luka is still not like.
He's not.
Mentally there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like even Dalton Connect or whatever. I mean, obviously he was just like an after part of that trade and obviously got rescinded. But even Dalton Connect literally was saying that he wants to like be benched and not play because he's still trying to like process everything.
He played last night.
A couple nights ago it was
10 points or something.
I can look for you.
He missed like
10 points and 1 steal. He played 17 minutes.
But yeah, Luka, like, I mean, again, I didn't think he was going to be over it. And again, I'm not going to judge like a brand new team. Honestly, like we kind of said with Carl Anthony Towns, who's been balling lately, is that, you know, you almost need like 10 to 15 games before you can really judge
to get comfortable.
How a team, you know, learn a new team's offense and defense and all the terminology and how you work with other players. But it was so obvious, you know, the Lakers, what got a buyout guy, literally, what's his name? I always forget his name.
Which one?
The buyout guy, the center that they got, the Lakers, what's his name?
Oh, Alex Len.
Yeah, in the year we've got Alex Len. Didn't think I'd hear that name ever again. He was terrible. He did nothing.
He's Yeah, if you don't know, he's been like not really in the league. He's like been a free agent, kind of like hopping around.
He's been around.
Not really having a place in the league for a couple of years now. So that's been kind of, you know, rough for him. And then he hops onto this Lakers team and they're just like, by the way, you're our starting center. You're going to get big minutes. Play like AD. And he was like, no.
Yeah.
No. He had 4 points, 7 rebounds. And let me find, let me find the last thing. He had 4 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists and a block, was a -9 in 22 minutes playing.
He got
Charlie Brown
several times.
Christmas tree ass front court, period. And the hard part is, because, you know, like a lot of people are like, oh, what's wrong with Luka? What's wrong with the Lakers? Well, first of all, Luka's entire life was just upended. Luka's not going to start playing like Luka until he gets comfortable.
Luka was also out for a month. Like he
was literally out for like a month and a half. He hadn't played since Christmas Day, people. Okay. Yeah. Like
cut the guy some slack.
Cut it out. Okay.
He would have done the same thing on the Mavs. I assure you he was not going to be perfect and come in and drop 70 the first game, the first 2 games back from being injured.
Totally. Yep. And that's just like, and the thing is like, the way that I was kind of like explaining it is that the Lakers have an awesome backcourt, you know, and then obviously they have LeBron James. Like you have LeBron, Austin Reeves and Luka. Like what a phenomenal group of offensive players, of facilitators, of great ball IQ guys. But they're not defensive menaces. None of them. And a lot of the times a lot of teams find their defensive menaces. They usually they're not all teams like OKC where like every guy in your starting lineup is like one of the best defensive players in the league. A lot of the times you usually have like a good rim protector and then a really good perimeter defender to be able to defend each game, their best, you know, backcourt player and their best front court player. Yeah. That's normally what teams will have, like just in general. And Walker Kessler and Lauri Markkanen just worked the Lakers front. I'm going to put front court in quotes because Charlie Brown Christmas tree ass front court. It is so bad. It is so weak. So bad. Weak. And they worked them all night.
Yeah. Poor. No, I'm honestly, I'll smile at the Lakers downfall any day of the week. I was like, poor. Oh, wait. The only person I feel bad for is Luka in this situation. Oh, wait. So, yeah, so Lakers. Listen, if the Lakers get against the Nuggets, I certainly am not concerned. No one is doing anything to Jokic in that series. Yeah. But, yeah, I have to go back to the job that pays me. So that is our, you know, recap of all like the main things. We didn't get to talk about the Knicks winning to the Hawks in OT, but shout out to Trae Young. He was a baller and had
incredible,
like literally single-handedly got them back in that game and had 19 assists last night. He is a phenomenal passer and has been all season. So I'm giving him a shout out. But thank you guys
and
so much for
being
here. Mini
shout out to JB for the game winner, but that's it.
And Karl Anthony Towns, you've been balling out. He's going to be all NBA second team probably just because you have like Jokic and all Giannis and all those people. Maybe
I'm
going to
get
though,
a
who
cat.
Knows if he,
I'm going to get a cat as a pet and name it Cat with a K.
Love that. Even though no one know that it's spelled with a K unless you're typing
come
it
come here,
about
K.
It.
Wait, come here, Cat with a K. That's how I'll say it.
Oh, okay, good.
I hate it. It's fine.
Yeah. Like, comment, subscribe. Thank you so much for being here. Go back and you can go back and watch some of our recent videos. Now that we're on All-Star break, well, there's a few games tonight, and then we're on All-Star break. We're excited to watch all the things. We'll probably do like a recap or something. If anything exciting happens, who knows? Maybe not. You know the players don't want to be there. Jokic certainly doesn't.
I'm dead. Yeah.
Anything to say?
Love us. Love us and say nice things and share us with your therapist, your doctor, your dentist. Let them know if anyone likes sports. You
Send them on over.
The link. Okay. You give it to them. That's what she said. Like, comment, subscribe, love us, whatever. We love you. We're so happy to be here and we're so happy that you're here. And we will see you guys probably early next week for some All-Star Weekend shiz.
Adios.